the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly come to Thee this morning, Lord, the author and the finisher of all revelation, Lord, of all faith, of all that we can ever know, all that we can ever do. And Lord, that to be able to recognize You, to recognize Your presence, Lord, it's all by grace. Lord, it's by that predestinated seed that You planted before the foundation of the world. Lord, may You just guide us this morning, give us words to speak. Lord, that You know every heart and every need, every situation. Lord, we ask You would just bless each one now. So we commit all things to You. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you this morning. We greet you in the name of the Lord. And we just thank God for every opportunity, as always, because we know our days are numbered and that the time is short. And, of course, we don't know what God is going to do or how He's going to do it. They thought it was over 2,000 years ago. And then they thought it was over in 1977. And people are still making dates and still trying to put the day to it. But we know it's all in Him. And so we don't have to... We don't have to make any claim to any of that. And so we're happy to see Brother Chris, Brother Michael, and families this morning. And we're always happy when we come together and have some fellowship together, both in the Word and in the natural food. And we're happy to see Sister Meta today. We've been missing her for a while. And so we thank the Lord. And each one, we're happy to be here. And now I know you all, you've been following on the group concerning Brother Goomba, and they refused him in Pakistan. So we don't, they didn't really give him a reason, and so he'd been there before. He had a visa, he had everything that he needed, and so they. I think he told me that they give him x-ray. They x-rayed him for drugs in his body. And I think that was their excuse of something like that. But they didn't find any drugs and they still sent him away. And so we believe that God is in control of all things. And God has a reason for all things. And so we don't know what the Lord is saving him from. We don't know what might have happened along the way. We don't know. And so we may never know. But it doesn't matter. We know that God's will is done in all things. And so we thank God in that. And we know that His heart's desire was to minister to the people there and to bring them into a deeper revelation of to know God in this day and in this hour. And you know, He's talked about that, we've talked about it, that was His sole purpose in going. And so God's turned him another direction now, and God's going to send him somewhere, give him somebody to preach to. Amen. And so I read the same thing in the Bible. Right. I read the same thing. Brother Branham, he was going to Israel to preach, had his ticket in his hand, was fixing to get on the plane, and God sent him outside behind the hangars, and he prayed. And he said, don't go, turn. And so God turned Brother Goomba, and so we know that God has a purpose in it. And so we thank God for that. And so he's back in Nairobi now, right? I'm confused on the time. He said he was going to get there around 9 in the evening. So I couldn't tell if it was yesterday because he had got to Dubai around 3 in the morning and was leaving around 4 in the afternoon, somewhere like that. And so, but I tried to do the math and it never came out just right. But he did say this morning that he was going to get there. So I think maybe it's today, which they're... Okay, so that's it. Got it. Okay, so the Lord will lead him and guide him. And one thing's for sure, he wherever he goes, he's going to talk about the Lord. And so that's we thank God for that great desire. Now, I don't know, some of you know, tomorrow I'm going to be going to Canada and spend some time there. And so I'll be gone for, I think, three services for the Michael the next week and a half, I guess. And so we ask you to be in prayer for us. I wanted to get there while the girls were out of school. And so they've been out for a week now, and they got another week. And so we'll get to spend some time there while they're out, and looking forward to that. And so... I want to say now we're missing Brother Richard this morning. We would have loved to have him. And Brother Chris offered this morning to actually pay for the transport and everything. And I'm feeling bad because I thought about it several times this week and never said anything. And then Brother Chris probably put it into words this morning. And we really appreciate that, Brother. But it was too late. It was too late to... We're supposed to let them know the night before, and then you have to make an appointment with the transport and those things. So it didn't work out, but we know that Brother Richard would love to be here. And just in thinking about that, I came in, I don't know if it was the next day. Anyways, Brother Chris went by to see him one day. And then I don't know if it was that evening or the next day. It might have been the next day I come and talk to him. And we were talking, and he told me that Brother Chris had come by. And he paused and he thought about it a minute, and he said, it was very enlightening. He really enjoyed that visit, Brother. He really enjoyed whatever you were sharing with him. It was a blessing to him. And so we really appreciate that. And each one now, if you're able to go by and say hello to him, he'll really appreciate it. He's, you know, he's much more receptive now, much more alert, and talking from what he was a month ago. He wasn't able to talk hardly, but now day by day, he's certainly coming along, and so we thank God for that. Now I want to get right into the message, and I kind of always hate when I change at the last minute, but I'm still on the same subject that we've been on, and but I changed my title this morning from Judgment Angels to Ministering Angels, because there's one thing. While we've been talking, we've been talking about souls in prison and preaching to the eternal lost and judgment angels and investigating angels and all the different things, and we've been trying to kind of simplify on the for the youth, for the younger people. And to kind of give them a basic of what's taking place in this day. But I wanted to hit the other side a little bit, because we talk so much about judgment, eternal separation, eternal death, all of those things. But I ran into a quote a week or so ago, and I thought I wanted to insert it. And so I'm going to do that this morning. So I'm going to read, I had Luke 17 here was going to be my scripture today, but now instead I just changed my scripture to Acts chapter 8 and 26, and it goes more with the quote that I want to get across, and then we'll get back to the judgment part of it. So beginning at verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And now it was the angel of the Lord, right? It was the angel of the Lord that's talking, that's telling him what to do. And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And you notice in the How many times you look at Bathsheba come there in the days of Solomon, you look in the days of, and she was a queen, right? She was a queen. Now here's a queen. And so we know going back in Moses' day, his wife. And so it's interesting when you see that these women were in a place of leadership. For whatever reason, whether their husband died or whatever reason, but they had a pull. They had a pull to God. And so here's her, one of her chief men is there to worship the Lord and no doubt to bring her back a report of what's happening there. In verse 28, was returning and setting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, now it was the angel talked to him, and it says the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And I was thinking of all of the segregation. Brother Branham said there was segregation in that day. And especially, and it wasn't about color, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they were all the same people. They were all the same color. And so here, I don't see any racism in this. Here's a black man, and we assume somewhat white man, is coming together for the Word of God. And I think that's the beauty, Brother Branham said, of the message of the Holy Ghost living in a person. Amen. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're intellectual or you're not. The disciples, the scripture says they were ignorant and unlearned. So it don't matter which place you're in. The Holy Spirit takes out all of those things. It takes out our prejudice. It takes out our jealousy. It takes out our racism. It takes out everything. Amen. And it only leaves room for one thing, and that's for fellowship in Christ. Yes, 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who should declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And now you talk about living in the moment. Now here it's just happened. It's just finished. And the word of God for that day and for that hour, it's been fulfilled. Amen. Here the Christ has come. He's been done. All these things happening, and now he has this opportunity to go right there and bring it right to the day, right to the hour, and they're living in the moment. These things is happening right now. Right now it's happening. Amen. And that's how it is, and that's the thing that we've been trying to speak to the young people for some time, is to get them to see that we're living in the moment. We're living in the time. We're living in the hour that God, the scripture that he promised for this day, that they're happened all around us. Right. They've been happening for now 50 years, 60 years, 100 years. The scripture is being fulfilled just constantly, coming to pass one thing after another, until God's sending a great gift in this last hours, and that gift manifesting tens of thousands of times to fulfill that the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That Word, that Scripture being made manifest in the midst of the people. And the people are seeing it, and they're hearing it, and they're receiving it. And what an hour that it's been. We know that that gift has gone off the scene. But God hasn't gone off the scene. God is somewhere. He's somewhere. And I know that you know where He is. I know that you know where He's hiding. Because He's always hiding in a veil. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Praise be to God. That was it. Jesus told the people. He said, "You believed in God. Now believe in me." Huh? You believed in God. You believe in God the Father. You believed in the great eternal Spirit. You believed all through the Old Testament and the prophets, all of those manifestations. You believed in God. Now believe in me. Because I'm the manifestation of that God now living in a veil of flesh. And that's where the people couldn't recognize him, because he was living in flesh. But he was telling them, "You believed in him then, believe in him now. Now you can see him, now you can behold him. Now you can have fellowship with him, now you can talk to him. And him talk back to you. Now you can eat with him, you can walk with him." Oh, what a day that was. What an hour that was. Amen. This that great moment in time was God revealing himself. And we know that was the one of the greatest moments in time. But God in every age is manifesting himself. And that's been the gift of God, is to recognize him in that moment, in that hour, in that time. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. What took him away? Not the angel of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord caught him away. See, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And now, I got a couple more scriptures here I want to read. "But unto which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And then in Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.'" And last one, "And the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now, that was also in chapter 4. So, I want to start in the message, Hebrews. And when I said I wanted to look on the other side, is because we know that God uses angels. And we know that there are angelic angels, and we know that there are human angels. And Brother Branham said that the messenger to the age, those men, they were angels. In other words, the scripture said that those angels, they were actually men that came on the scene. They were born of women, and they preached the gospel. They fulfilled their purpose. And then so we find also that in Revelations there, it talks about those heavenly angels. And so there's both sides. And so there's judgment angels, and then there is ministering angels that God uses. Brother Branham said, or the scripture says, that we have guardian angels. And there's several terms, and I'm not getting into all that today, but you have, the scripture also said that there is angels encamped about them, those elected ones. And so God has a protection on you. And so let's just cut in here now in this paragraph 34. How did the Indians lose this country to the white man? It's because they were disunified. And they had made one big forefront, but they were fighting one among each other. And they would have held their ground if they would have all come together. That's true. They were natural born fighters. That's what they did. And so the problem was they were just fighting one another. And then, so when the white man come, they were still fighting one another. And then they fought the white man, and they had no idea the volume that they were up against. How are we going to lose? Because we're disunified. Huh? How we lose our experience with God is because we disunify. We set up one, and we call the Methodists and the Baptists and the Assemblies and the Oneness and something else, the Church of God, the Nazarene, the Pilgrim Holiness. We disunify the body of Christ. We should never be divided. And so we might differ on ideas, but let's be heart in heart brothers. God wants us to be. He died for the entire Church of God, and we do not want to be disunified. Now, I think every one of us that reads the message knows that there was one thing about the messenger to this last day. That no matter how bad you treated him, no matter how bad you talked about him, no matter how bad you put a knife in his back, that man loved you. And I think that is something that every one of us are striving for. I think if there's any place I feel short myself, that's it right there. That's it. Because it's not just to put on, not just to say, oh, I love you, brother. I think over the years, how many times I've said, I love you, brother. And I know there was something in there that maybe wasn't love. Maybe that there was a disagreement. Maybe there was something. But that prophet, no matter what, he, from his heart, loved them. He loved them. I know I said it many times. I didn't plan on saying it, but it just came to my mind, so I'm going to. When I was in the Congo, and I had the privilege to spend some time with Perry Green, he was telling me stories. And that man, in his old age, his memory was perfect. He didn't struggle. I guess he's told those stories so many times, they were just there. But he told me how that Brother Branham was weary from the meetings and everything, and said he had just got a new Cadillac. And he took him for a ride. He said, could we just go riding? And he said they went riding for about 4 hours. And so they just took this big circle around these mountains. And when they come back, and he said as they were riding along, and said he just, first he said that Brother Branham asked him to tell him some jokes. Of course, nothing dirty or out of the way or anything, but just something to get him back to feeling himself again. And so he got him laughing, and he started that numbness. He said, Brother Bram said he would get numb. It was such a strain sometime on the flesh. But anyway, he said after some time, then they were talking, and he said as they went along, Brother Bram began to share with him some of the things that was going on behind the scenes, and some of the ones that were against him, some of the ones that were defrauding, some of the ones that were stealing money out of the campaign, and different things that was going on. There was a lot of things. And so then as they go on, so he shared these things with Brother Perry in confidence, and that, you know, so he would know, after Brother Branham was gone, he would know what was going on with the different ones, and that he wasn't unaware. People think Brother Branham was associated with this one or that one, but God was in control all the time. Amen. God knew who was and who wasn't, and Brother Branham didn't just run away because there was a bad guy in the crowd. And so so there was two brothers, and it's rumored that they were homosexual. Or not, there was, yeah, there was two men there. And so I don't know. I shouldn't go into all of that. But anyways, there was some things that was going on, and they were doing things behind Brother Branham's back. And so as they were going around this mountain, Brother Branham said, "Brother, if we had a little bit more time," he said, "these brothers just live here on this mountain." He said, "if we had another hour or two, we could just go over and see how they're doing." And Perry said, "Brother Branham, I can't believe that you would even want to go spend time with these brothers. After what you've told me they've been doing, after you told me all of their ways," he said, "I can't believe that you would even consider going and having fellowship with them." And Brother Green told me, he said, "I felt so small when he got done with me. With one sentence, he said, 'Brother Perry, I'm so disappointed in you.' He said, 'There are brothers. There are brothers. After they've been backstabbing, after they've been stealing, after they've been living ungodly, after doing all the things they were doing, he still called them brother. He still called them brother.'" It's something, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I could use some more. I need some more. I'm preaching to me. Being disunified. We push ourselves away from God when we put ourselves above anybody else. We might differ in ideas, but let's be hard in heart, brothers. God wants us to be. He died for the entire church of God, and we do not want to be disunified. Now, we ought to give the most earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, the words spoken by angels, now angel is the messenger, and the word angel means messenger. I just got through in the first book here, God in sundry times and divers manners spake to the fathers by the prophets. That was God's messengers. Now, those prophets was God's angels. Those were God's messengers. Amen. Fleshly ones. Messengers to the age. See? They were God's messengers. They were God's angels. And a messenger is an angel. And an angel is the messenger, rather. See? A messenger. 37, you are a messenger this morning. That's the other side. But that can take both sides. That can take the eternal life, and that can take the eternal separation. You're ministering something. You're an angel. You're a messenger of something.
Yes, sir.
And we're a messenger of this revelation, of this message today. And this message today is now, in present tense, the prophet has brought us into the third pool. He's brought us into the revelation of the seventh seal.
Amen.
That we're not waiting for him to come anymore, that he's here.
Yes, sir.
We know that he's here. Just as the people struggled in that day to recognize God in Christ, people now are recognizing, but they did, in that time they did, God had an elected seed, and they recognized the presence of God. And now it's been a long time coming. But it was just little by little by little. But now it's come to clarity. It's come to clarity that the prophet's gone off the scene. It's clear that the seven church ages are over. All the church ages are finished. They're done. All of that's over. Whatever those people are doing now, they're going right on. Just like the Jews of 2,000 years ago, they're going right on. They're still out there. We're not saying they're not there. They're still there. So are those Jews that rejected Christ. That they're still out there. But the elected has been caught up into the presence of God. They've been caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ. They've been caught up into the revelation of the resurrection. Because that's what's taken place. When he came, then he's catching his bride unto himself. And that's when those foolish virgins had to wake up. There had to be awakening. There had to be a resurrection. There had to be a time when that was woke up, and then the fullness could be here once again. And so it's not partial anymore. It was partial for 2,000 years. Now it's the fullness. See, you are a messenger this morning. You are a messenger of good news or a messenger of bad news. See, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, a messenger, the messengers of the resurrection? How? You're the proof of it. You're proof that he has resurrected. You're proof that he is alive. Brother Andrew said there was a resurrection in the evening time. Huh? That's you. That's you. That's Christ living in you. He's vindicating that. He's proving that over and over and over. He's proving it. Day by day, wherever you go, you're a messenger. That God is using you to shine the light. The scripture said, I ran across the scripture quote this morning. Brother Rand was talking about there would be light in the evening time. And we know that light, we know there was a message. We know there was a messenger. All of that came. But where is it now? Did the light go out? Or is the light still here?
Yes, sir.
And if the light's still here and that veil's gone, then he's in these veils.
Amen.
That's the evening light today. That's where it's at. That's where it's shining from. Because God always has a people on the earth to believe.
Yes, sir.
Poor Elijah. He thought he was the only one. And sometimes it looks like the only one. Sometimes it comes down to these little bitty groups. But he's got them scattered all over.
Amen.
They don't. The difference is, the devil's children, they need that big crowd. And although we would love to have a crowd, the only thing that matters to us is that we have him.
Yes, sir.
If it's just you and him, you're going to walk.
Amen.
You're going to talk. You're going to live the life. If it's just you and God and nobody else. That's the difference. Others, they have to have a crowd. They have to have other people. They have to have something to hold them up, to boost them up. They don't know. They're not sure. Brother Ram says that's that kind of a person. You got people that are just so positive about everything. You got some people can't decide nothing. Then you got people in between somewhere. No matter how much you're not sure about all this other stuff out here, be sure about this.
Amen.
Be sure about this. Come to clarity with God. Come to a positive, a boldness, a surety that you and God are one.
Yes, sir.
See? Oh, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, messengers of the resurrection, and we are God's messengers to this sinful world, that Christ lives. In our hearts, he lives. In our spirit, he lives. He brings us from the low, debauched life of sin and exalts us up. Gives us a hallelujah in our soul. And makes us new creatures. See? We are messengers. Angels of the covenant. How wonderful. Praise be to God. Even when things seem to be falling apart. Yeah, I think... how Brother Gumba must have felt when they were just not telling him what's wrong, not telling him what's the problem, but sending him away. But something on the inside was saying, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And that's where we live at. We live at, no matter what's going on around us, we are walking with God. 35. And that's the way it's going to be in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pure in heart shall see God. That's the reason we builders are not getting anywhere, huh? They're the ones working on this kingdom of God. The ones working to shine the light. The ones that are trying to quicken the seed, bring the word to the seed to quicken. See? The same way they did back there. The chief cornerstone was rejected. And that's what's the matter today with the Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals. That's what's the matter in the message.
Right.
Brother Branham said, he said, how could they ever fulfill the Great Commission? Huh? You got to have the Word.
Yes, sir.
You got to be in the Word. This got to be living in you. If you're going to bring anyone to Christ, there's got to be something in here living out.
Right.
You can't bring it with Methodist water and Pentecostal water.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that all they're going to bring forth, he said the Methodists will bring forth Methodists every time. He said the Pentecostals will bring forth Pentecostals every time.
Yes.
He said, but the Word of God will bring sons and daughters of God.
Right.
See? The chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, is rejected. And who is he? He's the Word. See? The cornerstone is kicked out in a bunch of weeds. And they build their church. Like Brother Adam talked about the Bible sitting over somewhere in the corner, all dusty. Because it never gets read. It never gets picked up. This message gets dusty. Our minds get dusty because we don't read anything, so we don't know.
Yep.
Brother Branham said, we've got to live in this.
Right.
We got to live in it.
Yes.
And how are we expecting the young people to come up in this when we're not living it?
Right.
Huh? We just tell them, go read your book, go read this, go do that. No, they got to see this living. They got to see this life living.
Amen.
I think when I was a kid, I didn't go to church. Very rarely. And then there was a time my parents, they sent me to church. We went to this little Baptist church. And it was really interesting. I found out later that there was a little church on the way. I'd walk past this church and they all left. Because whoever their leader was told them that California was going to fall off in the ocean. And so I didn't know that till I was a grown, that who that could have possibly have been. But I walked by there to go to this little Baptist church, and my parents didn't go. What kind of example is that? Huh? We tell people what they need, we tell them what they should do, and then don't do it. Yeah, that's right. And the same things in the message.
Amen.
This is what happens. This is the disunity right here. 36. The cornerstone is kicked out in a bunch of weeds. Huh? Remember the little woman that came and fell at his feet?
Mm-hmm.
And washed his feet with her tears? Mm-hmm. And dried his feet with her hair? Huh? No thought about herself, no thought about her embarrassment, no thought about her being messing up her hair with the filth off of her feet. No.
Right.
Just anointed to do a service.
Amen.
To anointed one. Today, where all the power and signs and wonders has been left undone. And you find out the Holy Ghost fits right in there. Huh? For he's the one who brings the power of God into the church.
Amen.
That's the life.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. It's the life. The power of God. For a long time, when you talked about the power of God, all I thought about was healing. When I was a young Christian, a young man, and I just thought about healing and raising the dead and maybe one day walking through the wall and doing some supernatural. No. God's not a show-off.
Right.
God's not trying to impress anybody.
Amen.
He ain't never done that. He ain't never going to do that.
Yes,
And anytime that spirit gets on us, then we need to pray and ask God to get it off of us. Because this power is being yielded and surrendered so that when God wants to do something, He can do it. Anytime, any place. Brother Adam said he was standing out on the street in front of I think it was Shimp's, the candy store there, that drugstore, whatever it was, one of those stores. And this young man comes up to him and tells him, he said, Brother Adam, he said, I'm lost. Lost as lost can be. I'm like a coin in a haystack. Lost. And Brother Adam said, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be. And they got down right there on the street.
Yes, sir.
When you're in a restaurant and you're going to pray, do you look around and see who's looking? When you're somewhere else, do you look around? Would there be any shame to get down right there on the street? Huh? If God's moving, God's doing something? Are we willing? Huh? Are we willing to embarrass ourselves in front of the world? See, those things have been left undone. And the more I think about it, you know, I know for many years I thought only one thing. And I'm telling you, I'm not pushing for the gifts, none of that stuff. But I'm pushing for the power. Because for too long, I just pushed everything aside and wanted only one thing. I just wanted to have more revelation. I wanted to know the mysteries. And I love the mysteries. And I wanted more. Just that. Not needing any of that other stuff. But the more I read, and everywhere I read, he said, you're going to do the same works that they did.
Right.
So we're not going to push that off to the side, and we're not going to be ashamed of that. We're not going to be afraid of that.
Right.
But what we're going to do is believe that we are the messengers of God.
Amen.
And that's been another thing all the way through, from Jesus' day to this time. There's been a fear of people saying.
Right.
But the revelation of Jesus Christ in this day that there's only one eternal life, and that's God Himself. So if there's any eternal life in you, then God Himself is the one who's walking and talking. He's the one who's doing this thing. And He's all power. He is the resurrection. He is able to raise the dead. And many times, we limit God. We limit Him. We think, well, we don't need that now. We have this. We don't need anything. All of those are for another age. No! He's the same God today.
Amen. That's right.
All the power and signs and wonders has been left undone. And you find out that the Holy Ghost fits right in there. He is the one who brings the power of God into the church. God always sends His warning. Just before the coming of Jesus, He sent an angel out of heaven by the name of Gabriel. Now minor angels come, yes. You see angels. Every one of them has a guardian angel, huh? According to the scripture. That's right. We need to remember that. Huh? You say that's just minor. It is minor compared to Gabriel. But this guardian angel, God put there for me.
Yes, sir.
He put there for you.
Right. Amen.
A lot of times, you know, I love that song that the Cockman sung, and I don't remember now, Strangers Unaware, is it? Yeah. So you find that the scripture talks about entertaining strangers unaware.
Right.
Huh? Do you believe that? He's the same God.
Yes, sir.
And so when those messengers went down to Sodom, they were angels. But God created some fleshly bodies for them angels to walk in.
Right.
And just as those angels
in those flesh bodies they ate at Abraham's house. Now they came to Lot's house, and Lot prepared them a feast. Once he persuaded them to come in, they were going to stay in the street all night investigating. But he persuaded them to come in, and he prepared them a feast, and they did eat. Okay? But they were angels of God in fleshly bodies. So how do you know who you're talking to? How do you know when one's right with you? How do you know? If we believe all things are possible, if we believe God, the creator of heavens and earth, is the one in control of this thing, if we believe that God is in you, whereas there in Sodom there were two, at Abraham there were three, he called him one, but there was three angels there. Now, God has a many-membered body.
Amen.
A many-membered body. He don't just have one veil of flesh there of Jesus Christ and all the Godhead bodily dwelling in that one man. No, now he has a many-membered body.
Yes, sir.
And all of that fullness now is in that many-membered body. So God has got many veils of flesh now.
Yes, sir.
That are walking around, that are speaking the word of God. They're speaking both judgment and they're speaking eternal life.
Amen.
And for those that can receive it, it's life.
Yes.
And for those that can't receive it, it's death.
Right.
But the revelation is, it's eternal death because they never was a part of Him.
Amen.
He's got veils today. He's got messengers today. He's got angels today.
Yes.
Here some time ago, I'm sorry, I want to leave that last sentence there of 36. Jesus said, their angels always beholds my Father's face, which is in heaven. Always. Here some time ago, a minister told me, he said, Brother Branham, there's no such thing as seeing angels. Angels don't lead the church. The Holy Ghost leads the church. I said, that's right. But we still have angelic beings. See? Beings as ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. So, yeah, we're led by the Spirit of God. That's the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise of the new birth. That the Holy Ghost is in you and will lead you and guide you in all truth. And He's the teacher living in you. Right? He's the teacher lives in you. And he said, well, our church don't believe in that. I like this. Here's a good answer for you anytime you come to those people. I said, I don't know what your church believes. I know what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
No insult, no rebuke, no none. It's not about what you believe. It's about what the Bible says. He said, well, Brother Branham, angels might have been back in Daniel's time and back there, but not since the Holy Ghost has come. No angels. I've been holding this a couple of weeks. I just debating whether to read it or not. And I just thought for the youth that they know. That they know that God is with them everywhere they go.
Yes, sir.
And that God uses angels. And they have an angel. And they have guardian angels.
Amen.
And the angels are encamped round about them. I said, do you believe that Philip had the Holy Ghost? And he said, certainly. He said, well, who was it that come to him and told him to leave that great big revival they was having and go out into the desert to meet that Ethiopian? See? Was it the Holy Spirit? No, sir. The angel of the Lord came to him. All right? That's what we read. The angel of the Lord came to him. See? Philip had the Holy Ghost. How many believes Peter had the Holy Ghost? You all do? Well, who was it that night when he was in jail? They was going to cut his head off the next morning. They was having prayer meeting down at John Mark's house. Huh? Who was it shined in there? The firelight come and hung over him and touched him and raised up, dropped the shackles off of him, opened up the doors and set him out on the street. The angel of the Lord. That's exactly right. And he had the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. We don't know who delivered Brother Goomba. We don't know. We know God did it. But who God used, we don't know. Who was Paul, that great saint? 14 days and nights, no moon, stars. Huh? All hopes he'd ever be saved was gone. You know, when I read these stories, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, because when you read it, don't read it like they didn't have any emotion, like they didn't have any fear, like they didn't feel that they had just spent 14 days rocking and rolling on a boat, knowing that it could sink at any moment. They had not seen the sun in 14 days, and knowing that they could die at any moment. They didn't know when they were going to die. Paul didn't know when he was going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. Amen. They were going through this in real time. It was happening. And they were having all the emotion, all the feelings that a human being can have in that situation. Right. They're not, this is not just some sweet little stories. These are real things. Real things. See, all hopes that they would ever be saved was gone. And he went down in the galley to pray. And he come out and said, "Wherefore be of good courage, for the angel of God, whose servant I am, stood by me last night, saying, 'Fear not, Paul.'" Is that right? The angel of God. Amen. The angel of God came and spoke. He can use angels like that, or he can use you.
Yes, sir.
Either way, it's the word of God being spoken.
Amen.
39. Look the aisle over on the Isle of Patmos. The whole book of Revelations was revealed by an angel. Jesus, send my angel to show you things that will shortly come to pass. See? And John started to worship the angel. But a true angel will never stand to be worshipped. See? No, sir. He'd say, worship God. See? Now, that's true. Oh, there's false angels, true. Just like there's false spirits and so forth. But a true angel of God will always point you to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Always. And as soon as we start wanting some glory, as soon as we start wanting something, there we go. There we go. Just think. God anointed Saul to be the king. Huh?
Yes, sir.
He was just a humble farmer, raised donkeys, done what any other farmer would do, simple life, never could imagine being a king, especially in Israel where there had never been a king. But then God made him the king. And then what did he see? He seen opportunity. He seen opportunity with all of that gold and all of those sheep and all of that. He seen opportunity. Now, that could enrich his kingdom. That could find him favor with the people. But God put him to the test. That's all it was. God put him to the test and said, don't. He said, kill everything and don't save nothing.
Right.
You go back and read the same thing in Joshua's day. They come into the land,
yes,
and God goes in, and now they might have many times. It was a traditional thing there. When you go to the battle, then when the battle is won, you get everything that you just, of those people that you just killed. You get, it comes to the kingdom and it's divided up amongst the people. Everybody gets them. That was a traditional thing. But then one day God says, You go down here and don't you keep one thing.
That's right.
All right?
Yes, sir.
And wasn't it Achan? Huh? He got him a couple of garments, really fine garments, and a wedge of gold. Huh? And what did it do? Next battle, they go out.
Right.
He's still hiding that. Nobody knows. He thinks he got away with it. 16 men die. Huh? He had disunified the group.
Right.
That's what he had done. He had disunified them. He had brought the devil in. He had brought a bad spirit in.
Yes, sir.
And other people were dying because of his decision.
Right.
Think. Think.
Yes, sir.
And think how easy it is to just take something small. That was pretty small. Other battles they went into, God said, destroy it all. Don't take nothing. Nothing. And then, once that test is out of the way, once they learn to obey, then what happens? Every battle they go to, divide the spoil. Divide the spoil. Divide the spoil. Right back to the old traditional way. That when you win the battle, you benefit, you profit from those things. But when God speaks and says no, then it's a no.
That's right.
And that's when it needs to be such a careful, careful thing with the elect of God.
Amen.
Paul said, if an angel from heaven comes and preach any other gospel than that which you've already heard, let him be accursed. Is that right? So watch the angel. Watch what the angel teaches, see? If it's bringing along in the gospel and sound in doctrine and everything according to the Bible, then believe it, see? So God always sends angelic beings to warn the world. I believe there's angelic beings in the earth today are warning the world of judgment to come. I could go a little bit on your flying saucer, huh? Here just for a few minutes, but I won't take much time. But anyhow, did you notice? Before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a perfect thing today, God sent two angels down here to call Lot out. Is that right? And it always stands out to me. Brother Branham said, Abraham had already separated himself. He already separated himself. And he knew there was a difference in that one angel and the other two angels. He knew there was a difference. And Lot knew something too. Because when those two angels came to Sodom, he fell at their feet. He bowed down to them. He knew there was something. And he brought them into his house. And there was so much respect that he offered his daughters in place when the men of the city came.
Yes, sir.
To defile them.
Right.
Now there was something that he recognized in those two angels. That, because that's a pretty big sacrifice. But there was life and death was taking place. Life and death. The men were blinded. They were blinded. How many times? How many times through the scripture do they get blinded?
Right.
Elijah's day, Jesus' day, he passed right through them. Paragraph 40. Look, just before the coming of the righteous one, the great Son of God, God sent an angel down. And the angel came to a home that was a respected home. If you want angels to visit your home, be like Zechariah's home. Huh? What? Live that life. Live that life every day. God's first every day.
Amen.
Not once a week, not every other week, not when you feel like it. No.
Right.
God is leading you every day.
Amen.
You're sold out. You're surrendered. And you're being led by the Spirit. and God can visit you. Brother Branham said one time, he was talking about the angel coming to him and ministering to him, talking to him, telling him things. And he said, most of the time, he said, it's when I've been fasting and praying. That's when he comes. Meaning, it's when we take time out for God.
Right.
When we come in full sincerity.
Yes.
People have this idea that God's got some obligation. God just, you know, I believe the prophet, so now God's, I'm okay. It's just like the nominal people that say, whosoever say that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever believeth on me shall be saved. That's in their carnal realm of thinking.
Yes,
that they have said it and now they believe it.
No.
They don't believe the rest of it, but they believe that.
Right.
With their intellectual conception. And people come with the same idea in the message. They think, well, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet. I believe that that this message is the truth. And then just, you don't got time for God. You go live any way you want to live. God don't come to that. God don't respect that. No. God comes to those that respect Him. Those that are surrendered to Him. You think, well, I already made my confession. I'm a believer. Now God's supposed to follow you around? Don't work like that.
Right.
No. You're going to follow Him around. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. You're going to surrender to Him on a daily basis.
Amen.
You're going to pray and ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. Way back, I've heard old timers talk about it. I even heard Brother Gerald one time talking about it. But Brother Branham, Eddie Biscoe, different ones. They talked about how that they could be doing something and just have the leading of God to go do something, go help. Brother Gerald told me one time about, I think he was at work or he was somewhere, and God just put it on a burden on his heart to go give somebody some money. And he went and done it, and he found out what a need that they had, and that what a blessing that was, and that how that helped him. And in the early 1900s, you go back, and you can read some of it. It's on some testimonies, it's on some of the tapes. I think Eddie Biscoe's, when he redid the I Am a Witness, when he came back and redid it, he went back there and talked about the spirit that was on the people. And he said that was a common occurrence. It wasn't something that once a year or every 5 years somebody has this supernatural experience and God led them to go do something. It was every day. It was happening to people, all kind of people. It was happening to housewives. It was happening to men. It was happening to teenagers. It was happening to people all over the place.
Amen.
And constantly happening.
Right.
And now look how rare it is.
Yes.
We say, well, we got the word. I've said that for a long time. We got the word. But He's the same God.
Yes,
and He's the same power. And He's the same works.
Amen.
And He wants to do the same thing.
Yes.
He just needs somebody that's sincere enough and surrendered enough and willing enough.
Right.
That He can do what He wants to do. I want to drop down to, and while He was waving this incense, see, standing on the right side of the altar stood Gabriel, the great archangel. Is that right? Now, angels can come, but when you hear Gabriel coming, be ready. Something major's on the road. Gabriel announced the first coming of Jesus. Gabriel will announce the second coming of Jesus. That's right. That's right. You know, I always marveled when I read years ago that Brother Branham talking about the angel of the Lord that came to him and always talked to him. And he said it was the same one. And he said he recognized his voice every time and said he was a man and said he could hear him walking in the room. So he could hear him coming and he could hear those steps. And said he knew what he looked like. He knew what his build was, about how much he weighed and the length of his hair and everything that he knew about him. But he never knew his name. And all the conversations they had, he never asked him his name. And I always marveled. I always marveled at that. Have you ever found anywhere where he did, Brother Chris, Michael? I never. But I read it where he said he never knew. And I really thought that was strange. From all the conversations that they'd had over the years. But he knew. As soon as that angel walked up, he knew he was there. He could feel his presence. And he knew his voice. And one time there was a preacher saying, Brother Branham, you're wrong about that. You're talking about this angel coming on the platform. He said, you're wrong about that. He said, that's God himself. And Brother Branham said, no. He said, that was the angel. He said, that's the angel. And so there were people preaching that. People were preaching that. And when I ran across that, it let me see, because the people were trying to bring that to pass before Christ came, before the opening of the seventh seal. They were trying to put it back there. And Brother Branham said, that was the angel. And so just saying what he said, and it's you don't have to add anything to it. See, I'm jumping around here. 266. All right. The next morning, now let me back up, make sure I got that. He said, Gabriel announced the second. Now, Junior Jackson, who dreamed about the pyramid, you know, when he went out west, you remember that, he called me a month or two before that, and he had a dream that's burning. He had to tell me. And there was about 20 standing out there. And he said, Junior Jackson down there said he had to tell you that dream. I said, send him in just about 5 minutes. He brought his wife in and see for a witness. And he said, I dreamed, Brother Branham. Me and my wife was riding and said, I looked back in the east and I saw looked like a spot, like one of them flying saucers. And see, the world don't know what that is, you know. You know it's on. Huh? We know. We know it's on. We know what it is. We know it's investigating angels. We know that it's the signs of the time. We know that it's the time to bring these things to pass. We know what it is. See, we know it's investigating judgment angels. You see? And that was going to be my title, but I changed it. And how can the Pentagon and all, about how it comes right down, and the intelligence, how they can, Brother Branham snaps his finger, go like a flash and be gone, pull away from anything that they got. See, they don't realize what it is and let them think whatever they want to. They call it flying saucers, whatever. They don't know. They don't know. Huh? And he said they can send their fastest planes out there and they can just pull away like that, just in a flash, in a thought. They're gone. They see them. They pick them up. And they try to chase them. And they're gone. Said, I seen it coming. I watched it. And what was it? It was a man on a horse. And he said he was coming with lightning speed. Said, I seen he was going to come down in front of me. And I stopped my car and jumped out. And when I did, see, the horse was standing in the road, great white military horse walking in a prance. That's the word, of course, you know, walking in a prance. And there was a man sitting there, and he was dressed in Western garb. Wasn't a cowboy. look like a chief over rangers or something, see? All of his chief authority from the west, the Indians over the Indians, rangers over, see? And he said, the man had his hat pulled down and was looking sideways. And when he turned sideways, he said, it was you, Brother Branham. And you never talked like you did. You said, Junior, called him three times and said, I'll tell you what to do. And said, then you pulled up on the reins and you made about three lopes and took to the skies and you were gone towards the west. And he said, just a minute. I looked around and here come a horse smaller than that one, of the same breed, but smaller. And said, I walked around. He must have sent this back for me. And he got on it. See? And Junior's done a little riding. And, you know, Brother Branham later said that he was talking about preaching. And that, so here, you read, I don't want to go into all of that, all the dreams and the visions and everything, but just getting the point about the angel. So I pulled up on the reins, off the skies. I pulled on the reins and stopped him and turned around and went back. And when I went back, said, I stopped the horse and got off and talked to my wife, and the horse was gone, and he woke up. So the prophet never turned back, and he never got off. And so I think there's a difference. 134. When the angel met Mary that morning on the road to the well and told her she was going to have a baby, knowing no man, it put her into action. She went quickly, telling everybody that she was going to have a baby, knowing no man. She didn't care what it meant to what the people said. She had actually met an angel of God. You see the difference? You see the difference? You know what that's going to mean. You know what that meant. You know what that meant. In that day especially. Nowadays, they're proud of having three or four kids by different men. There's no shame. There's no shame now. They actually take pride in that. It shows you the spirit of the age.
Yes, sir.
It shows you the time that we're living in. I'm telling you, there's one thing that all of the bride has in common. And we can, this bride is made up of every nation and every tongue and every kindred. And every nation has different cultures and it has different ideas. It has things that that they consider an insult. Brother Bosworth and I was talking about this the other day. And how easy it is. I used to hear about Japan, some of those things. They're very honorable. And they're very respectful. And you go to some countries and one thing is considered an insult. It's not an insult in another country. And then something from that country this country's doing can be an insult to them. And you don't even know it. You know that? You don't even know it. I remember, and we joke about it, Brother Goomba and I joke about this, but going there early on and bringing somebody a glass of water. And you bring that glass of water right there, it's half full. That's half full. You don't bring somebody a glass of tea like that. No, you fill it to right here. Fill it right here. Don't do that here. Huh? There's a difference. There's a reason why it's done differently. There's a reason why. But it's looked at differently. That's just one little thing. There's many. There's many things. We 134. When the angel met her that morning on the road, she was going to it put her in action. Okay, so you know what that meant. For her to say she was going to have a baby and she had not known a man. You know the reproach that was coming with that.
Yes, sir.
And you know the reproach when the revelation of this message began to open up. You know the reproach when people began to preach that redemption was over. Huh? That he took the book and had called the names of the elected. You know there was a reproach when people have been looking for 2,000 years for there to be a rapture and for people to go up into the skies and then to say that the new birth, that quickening that catches you out of that seventh church age. Brother Branham said, that's the rapturing without death. That's the rapturing without death, is catching you out of the seventh church age into the presence of God, into the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom? It's the Word. It's Christ. It's God Himself. That's the kingdom. And that's where you are when you have been caught up into Christ, when you have been born again, and you are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
That's right.
Just like that. That nature changes. That old soul dies, and Christ is living in you.
Amen.
She went into action. You will go into action. We will go into action. She didn't care what it meant. See, she actually met an angel of God. And when you've met God in this day, you stand on that word. Because God gives you the revelation of it. See, she was conscious that the Holy Spirit was upon her, creating in her a life. Praise be to God. Talk about type of the new birth. Oh, if we could only realize that the Holy Ghost is upon us, creating in us a faith, huh? That God in you is creating a faith, is building revelation, is building that spiritual understanding, that spiritual life of He Himself to manifest Him.
Amen.
See, it should put us in action. Oh, I'm sorry. To create a faith for the rapturing church. That's right. It should put us in action. But wonder if we're just doing it the way He wanted it to be, with reverence and humility. The pillar of fire in the last days ought to put the whole church into action, being vindicated, signs of His coming at hand. When we see Israel going home, huh? The Holy Ghost being poured out on the churches. The ecumenical news of coming together, going together, the council of churches, knowing that that's the tares being bound. That's right. They were bound. They couldn't get out if they wanted to. They were sealed in there. Roman Catholicism, Protestantism, uniting together. The Messiah is going to come to catch His bride away. I was telling my wife the other day, and I don't want to get into the politics, but this, I've been listening to some of these commentators, and the conversion of some of them that have been so pro-Israel, so pro-Israel, and now, and they're very much on the right, very much on the right, but yet they're starting to turn Catholic. Follow some of them. See how many has went from Protestant to Catholic. And when they get Catholic, now they're not pro-Israel anymore. Now they're ready to fight Israel. And it means something. There's a reason. There's a reason behind it. And when you see it, not just once, but you see it happening. I don't understand all them things that's going on, but I see some that's tying to the Scripture. It's tying to the Scripture. And a lot of those players out there, this whatever they are, whoever they are, that's between them and God. But the Scripture is being fulfilled. No matter who the players are, the Scripture is being fulfilled. God is sending gifts to try to create in us a faith that will move us out of here someday into a rapture, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead? Yes. Brother Branham said, you ain't hardly got faith to open the eyes of the blind or heal the sick. And he said, how are you going to go into a rapture? Huh? No, it's going to take revelation. It's going to take a spiritual revelation of what the rapture is, of who God is, of where God is, of what's happening right now, of the time, of the hour that we're living in. Amen. Where are we at? We're not back there.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we talked about the seven church age for so long that sometime we get to talking about it like we're still there. We're not there. That's over. It finished. When the seals opened, the seventh church age ended. The Pentecostal message was finished. It was finished. And the Bible was fulfilled. That's right. He said it was closed and it was sealed. Huh? It was opened. It was revealed. All the mysteries of the Bible was made known. And then he said, it was closed. Brother Branham said in the message, He That Is In You, he said, the opening closes the Bible and seals it up.
Right.
It was done. It was done. John 14:2. God has a living testimony in veils of flesh today. Great signs in the heaven above, angels coming in a constellation, and scientists looking off at it predicted months before it happened. There it was. There it's in the magazine, told months before it happened. Seven angels come down. And the complete revelation of the sixth seal mystery of God would be unfolded. Praise God. I love it when He does that. He knows how many seals they are. But this is the complete revelation of the sixth seal mystery. Because the seventh seal is His coming. And there it was, just exactly like He said, predicted before it happened. And they looked around, they find all kinds of mystic lights. And they call them supernatural beings of some kind. See? And they call it flying saucers. Fearful signs in the skies on earth. Signs pointing us that the coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand. That's right. All of those things were pointing to the opening of the seventh seal.
Amen.
That cloud. Those seven angels. Huh? What was it? It was angels. God sent angels.
Right.
The prophet said, He told me to go west and I would meet seven angels and they were going to give me the revelation, send me back to preach this revelation. I'm paraphrasing it. I may not say it just right. When those disciples invited Him into their fellowship around the table, it was then that they'd done something just like He did before His crucifixion. And their eyes come open. They knowed His manner. They knowed His style. They knowed what He done. And He did it just like He did before. And they said, that's Him. Praise be to God.
Amen.
And it's something inside of you that when you hear this message, you might have not never met nobody. You might have not never met Him like they did 2,000 years ago. But when you hear this revelation, there's something inside of you that identifies that that's it. That that's the truth. And you cannot get away from it. I remember the first time I was sitting in a little two-room apartment. The first time I went to a church that was in the message was in a home, and there was a man and two widow women, and he started talking about these things, and he started talking about the gift, and he was telling about the supernatural things that had been done. And I had been visited a few churches just for the wrong reason, and I heard this, and I said, that's the Bible. That's the real thing. And I'm identifying, here I am saying something's true about this, and I never even read it. But something on the inside knew that that's what people talked about. They talked about a God, a man that built an ark and saved the world. They talked about a God who sent a prophet down and he parted the Red Sea. They talked about a God who sent a man down and opened blinded eyes and raised the dead to life again. And here was a man in our day that was doing it again. The same thing that was supposed to be in that Bible was doing it. That's called the living word. Yes. And our children need to know that. That was something that God told the people in the Old Testament. He said, teach your children these things. And that's something Israel has done. They continually repeat and repeat and repeat. And we need to tell ours. We need to tell them every day. Keep them in this life. Keep them in this revelation of what God has done in this day. And even all the way through. I love to read the Old Testament. You say, that's not it. No, it's still the Word of God. It's still the Word of God. It's still the power of God. It's still the manifestation of God.
Amen.
The New Testament, all of it. All of it's the Word of God. He said, this is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is, right here. He pointed to the Bible. This is the complete revelation. I believe it. I believe it. That's right. You say, well, how do you say this is an unwritten word? I didn't say that. The Bible said it. Is that right? The Bible said it. The Bible said another angel would come down and put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and he would speak those seven thunder mysteries. That's what the Bible said. We just was here to see it happen. We were just here the benefits to hear it. Hear it preached. See, they knowed his manner, his style. They knowed, and you're going to know too because you got the same life, the same nature. That's right. And they said, that's him. And quickly they raised up and screamed out and he vanished. And where it took 6 hours to listen to this sermon, maybe 20 minutes, they were light-footed back. See, that's right. He's risen indeed. He is really alive. Praise be to God. Oh my. You remember when God let you recognize that he was not in denomination. And that God is in the Word. That God is the living Word and not a man-made idea. Not a man-made interpretation. Not a man-made creed. See? You remember when it came to you and you realized that it wasn't those things, but that God had revealed it to you. And that it was a personal revelation from Jesus Christ himself to you. Huh? You remember that?
Yeah.
I hope it's still burning.
Amen.
I hope it's still burning in you.
Amen.
When he pulled you from wherever, your whole life, you could have been church to church. You could have been never been in a church. But he was leading all the time. Amen. Some people went from, their trail was from this one to that one to this one to that one. But then God got them there.
Amen.
Some never went to church. And they came face to face with Jesus Christ, and boom, here they are, just the same. They sat right side by side, and amen, the same thing. I'm going to close in just a minute. Paragraph 129. Friends, this is the fulfillment of Malachi 4, and Luke 17, and John 15, and Revelation 10. So many prophecies that can be pinned exactly to this day. Also in Mark and in Matthew, where he said these great signs and wonders would appear in the sky, and people call them saucers, flying saucers, and can vanish with the power and quickness of a thought. Think about that. Huh? And they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. But it's among us. And it's been among us. God doing something. See? Intelligence that can move it, see? He can write. He can speak. He can do whatever he wants to that great pillar of fire. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And sights coming upon the earth. Pyramids of smoke rising into the air. Way above where there cannot be no humidity nor nothing. 30 miles high. Predicted a year and a half before it happened. That it would be that way. Then turn the picture and see who is looking down. Praise be to God. Oh, I tell you, the whole cloud deception, it just marvels me. It just marvels me. But it shows me where we're at. It shows me we're preaching to the lost. It shows me eternal separation, eternal death. It shows you those things. It shows you they're happening. People are separating themselves. They can't help it. Because it's the time. It has to be done. You see it more and more. You see people that, even people that were humble and sweet, and you find them getting just arrogant about it. Where once they were different. Once they were willing to talk about it, willing to listen to it. No, that's wrong. Mm-mm. The same God. There's too much around it. You're worried about a date. You're worried about where somebody was at a certain time. That prophet said, we didn't take the picture. They did. That says that's how simple it is. This is here. This is here, right here. This is what they should be looking at.
Right.
Not what date that was. Look at this. This is the results of that. This is the main thing.
Yeah.
Satan's always wants to distort the people away from the main thing. This is the main thing. Look at this and see if this coincides with this. Do it. And in any of your youth, if you haven't read that Church Ages book and this Seven Seal book, please, please read it. Read the Church Ages book. Take this book right here. Read this. And as soon as you finish this, read this. Study them. Study them. And keep your Bible right beside you while you're doing it. Keep your Bible right with you. You, when you start studying this, you start reading this, you're going to wear out your Bible.
That's right.
You're going to be amazed at how many scriptures are right here, page by page by page. Some pages, a dozen scriptures, a dozen different places to go. And you go to read them, and then you want to read the whole chapter. You'll find yourself. It sucks you in. It draws you. I had all my quotes from Wednesday for today that we didn't use Wednesday. They was left over. And it was in Luke 17. And I started reading on it. And the first scripture was talking about the kingdom of God. And it comes without observation. And I couldn't get away from that thing. And I used almost all my time from Wednesday to today, this morning, on those first scriptures, talking about the kingdom of God. And then God turned me, took that scripture out and put these scriptures in. Quotes are the same. But I had that scripture in Luke 17. And because now, these quotes that we're in now, they go right with that. Same, but this is what we've been on for quite some time. But that thing, it comes without observation. Think about that. They were looking for it. They were looking for the kingdom of God. But they were looking for a physical kingdom. They were looking for builders. They were looking for, like, the temple. They were looking for them to come set up the kingdom of God on earth and start building something and doing something. That's where they were at. And he said, it don't come by observation. He just took another scripture and he said, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where it is. Boy, you know they didn't get that one. No, they were looking for something totally different. Today we were looking for something different. We were looking for a different kind of rapture. We were looking for a different kind of resurrection. We were looking for a different kind of relationship. We were looking for a different kind of new birth. We were looking everything differently than what the reality was that God revealed. But now we're here, we are, we're living in it. And we're trying to express it to the world, to a dying world. That great pillar of fire. See? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Sights coming on the earth. I'm sorry, I'm repeating. I'm trying not to repeat now. Not one word has ever failed, see? That's been told. And here is God's written word confirming it's the truth. It's evening light time again. I wonder if he would return by grace tonight and do something like he'd done back there. Let's pray. Ask him. That's right. Oh, and he does, and he did, and he still does, and he still is. Praise be to God. I'm going to stop. Okay. We're going to read one more. The very last one in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Did you notice the angels that come down investigated Sodom before Sodom was destroyed? You remember that? See? There was a bunch of them come down, three of them. One of them stayed with Abraham. You remember that. They were lights from heaven that came down in the investigating judgment. That's what happened in Sodom. That's what happened today. See? That's right. And look, where they're all found around the Pentagon and things, they find them. That's the world judgment, Sodom. And there's one represented. We'll be represented among the churches. We'll be Christ himself vindicating himself, see? Amen. Sights in the heavens above, signs on the earth beneath, yes. And we see the world geographically. We see the signs, earthquakes in diverse places, nations against nations. And we see all the things that predicted. We see fearful sights in the skies and men's hearts are failing, flying saucers and so forth that they can't explain, investigating judgments coming to the earth. We see the atomic bombs hanging out yonder everywhere. The great missiles can carry total destruction in an hour. We see the gases hanging above us there that would rain the fires down out of heaven and destroy the earth. Brother Branham told the story a few times of, I think it was a preacher. And this preacher was called in. The Pentagon, they were having a big meeting and they were talking about the concerns of the world being totally annihilated. And said they checked. They had to check his background back to his great-grandmother. And said they took him in and he said, I wish I hadn't been there. He said, I wish I didn't know what I know now. He said, they got bombs now that they can just destroy the world. Just like that. He said, it won't take nothing. And this was back in the 50s or 60s. Think what they got now. And he talked about them having bombs that would go 175 miles. A radius, 175 miles. That's a three-hour drive any direction. That one bomb. And then it would go so deep into the earth. And then it would ignite the gases in the earth. It would go so deep. And he said, that's the hour. That's the hour. There was a time as a young Christian, I couldn't understand how that the world, that we've become so civilized. Because I used to think, you know, you go to the school and you think about the caveman and the horse and buggy and all of that. And you think how uncivilized they was. And I thought, now we've come all these thousands of years and we're so civilized now. And now we've become, you know, a very smart people, very capable people, all of these things. And now there will be no more wars now because now we're civilized. There's more wars today than there's ever been. Think about it. There's more wars today. We've become so civilized and so smart and so intelligent and we're killing each other more now than we was there. It's an endless cycle. And there's only one thing that's going to end it. That's right. And that's the millennium. This has got to be destroyed. And this is going to be destroyed. And this is happening. It's happening. And so you see judgment upon the earth. It's going to climax. and it's going to be over. And we thank God that He has a hedge like He did with Job. He has a hedge about His elect. Wherever you go, whatever you face, you know that God is your protection. You know that God is leading you. That God is protecting you. That God is making the way, all things for you. Amen. Well, let us stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Michael if you'll come. You can dismiss us. Would you come? If you would like to sing a song, you can. Whatever you feel led to do.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for the word and the living word, not the word of yesterday. It's the word of this hour. Amen. Let's do sing a song. Just so glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. Disciples of John's disciples came to take him by force to make him a king. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have it. He retreated into the hills. And they should have known from then on, you know. But and then they said, if my kingdom were earthly, my servants would fight. But that's not the kingdom. He came, and they missed it then, and they're missing it now, because it's the spiritual kingdom.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful that you are the King, Lord, and you've made us kings and priests, Lord, to partake of what the battle that you overcome, Lord. You've redeemed the bride, Lord, back into yourself to be partakers of those things, Lord. And we're so blessed to know these things, Lord, not just, as He said, to know them by letter, Lord, but to live in the reality, Lord, that You have produced a life in Your people that the world didn't give and the world can't take it away, Lord. Amen. We're so thankful for that.
Amen.
Pray that You would be with us now this afternoon, and all the words that are the fellowship and the food that's prepared, may You continue to be with us and help us to be a light for those we're around. We ask these blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.